Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
It is so good to have everybody here at the Fayetteville campus. I know we are also joined by our 9:30 service at our Pinnacle Hills campus. Why don't everybody at Fayetteville, why don't we give it up for our family up at Pinnacle Hills today? We are glad you are at church. We're glad you're at church. Also, many of you watching online due to COVID or maybe you're out of town, we are glad that you are joining us in that way as well. And today here at Fayetteville is our first day back to three services. We started with the 8 a.m., then we're in this one, obviously, and then we'll have the 11 o'clock next. And so I always say this every year. If you've been a part of the church for the last 10 years, I've given the same speech for 10 years, okay? If you don't like the crowded nature of 9:30 or 11, join us at 8 o'clock. It is some of us and the Holy Spirit, okay? It is not a full room. And so especially if you are maybe a little more cautious with COVID, 8 o'clock is a great, great option there where you can have all the room that you want. And so we always encourage people these first few weeks of the year just to kind of spread it out and do all that. So thank you for considering that here at the 9:30. Pinnacle Hills, we love you guys. If you are brand new to our church, welcome. We are one church that meets in three different locations. And across Northwest Arkansas, we always join with our 9:30 at Pinnacle Hills. Wherever I'm at is usually where we video from for the sermon part of that. So we're glad you're a part of this today. And whether you're here, there, online, wherever you're at, today you're here on a good day, folks. We begin a brand new series on Psalm chapter 23. So if you got a Bible, begin turning there with me. I don't know if you have old friends in your life. I don't mean like old age-wise. I mean old, like long-term friendships in your life. These are the kind of friendships where, you know, you don't go, you know, you don't see them for months or maybe even years, and then immediately upon seeing them, you just join back together like you were never separated. You got those old friends in your life? I got some of those old friends in my life as well. Psalm 23 is like an old friend. There would no doubt be hundreds of you who, if I asked you to come on stage and I were to say, hey, tell us Psalm 23, recite it from memory, there'd be a lot of people in our church who could recite all six verses of Psalm chapter 23 because it is so familiar, it is so famous. Some of you even had this probably plastered on your wall in some kind of frame at your house because Psalm 23 is awesome, that's why, okay? And so we're going to look at this great, great passage of the Bible. I recognize that anytime I throw out a familiar passage, if I were to say, hey, today we're going to look at John 3:16 or Psalm 23 or name some other passage, there'd be many in the room or at Pinnacle who would say, well, okay, I've been there, done that. Like, I know this one. I've studied this passage. I can literally recite it from memory. So this must be for other people. Here's the cool thing about the Word of God, okay? And in fact, I would say it's the unique thing that this book can do that no other book can do. God, through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, can take old familiar passages and do new fresh works in your heart. And so I'm praying that that is true in your own life today as we study this great passage. Today, I'm going to read all six verses. In fact, the next 3 weeks, we're going to begin the sermon with reading all six verses of the chapter so you know where we're headed. We're just going to go verse by verse the next 3 weeks. We'll cover verses 1 and 2 this week and then so on the following 2 weeks here. But I'm going to read our passage together today very slowly. And I begin in this manner. It's important and beneficial in your life to read the Bible slowly. It really is. I know sometimes you feel the pressure of, man, I want to read the entire Bible in 1 year. And by the way, that's a great practice if the Lord leads you to that. But sometimes we can get so captivated by the goal that we miss the person. And you could read 5 chapters, you know, in one morning, but you got 15 minutes to do it. And so you're like, brr, 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 brr. Like, hey, what did God do in your heart today? I ain't got a clue, but I finished 5 chapters, okay? That's not what God wants for you, okay? You'd be better to read 5 verses of the Bible and truly meditate on those than read 5 chapters just to hit a reading goal. So I'm gonna begin in that manner today. And especially verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read very slowly. And I think as we read it, you're going to understand why we read slowly, okay? Let's look at it together. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord. You're dismissed. Right there. Okay. The Lord. Not a representative, not an angel. The Lord Himself is. Not might be, not I hope is, not I hope will be. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just our shepherd, not just somebody's shepherd, my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Anybody need that today? He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, maybe you find yourself at that place today, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning, I read that in my own time with the Lord, and I'm just kind of committed the next 21 days. So the next 3 weeks of this series, I'm going to read Psalm 23 every single day. It's interesting if you'll go on your own time today and you'll read through that and just look at the action words that God is doing for you in that passage. It's pretty remarkable. You can highlight those, underline those, and you may be shocked. So let's go back to verse 1, and we're just going to cover verses 1 and 2, literally phrase by phrase. Every one of these phrases in the book here, in the chapter, is like startling how great it is, okay? And so let's go to the very first phrase back again. The Bible says this, the Lord is my shepherd. Think about, again, the confidence that David says there. Not the Lord might be, or I hope the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I am confident that He is presently my shepherd. Now, in ancient Near Eastern culture, this was not an abnormal thing for kings to call themselves shepherds over their people. And so even people who would have read Psalm 23 in the time when it was written, they would have been familiar with maybe their king calling themselves a shepherd. But here, God is called the shepherd. If you read in your New Testament, even then, Jesus is called the good shepherd in John 10, the great shepherd in Hebrews 13, and the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so if you really want to get a hold of, well, why is God mentioning this again and again in the Bible? Why is this such an important concept? You got to understand a little bit about ancient culture to understand what it is that God is really saying about what He's doing for us presently. So you got to understand ancient culture to understand what God is doing in your life literally today, August 15th, is that right? Yeah, 15th, 2021, right now in your life. By definition, a shepherd is one who tends to the sheep. Now that's some deep stuff, is it not? That's why you come to Cross Church for information like that right there, okay? A shepherd is one who tends to the sheep. In other words, think about what the sheep does for the shepherd does for the sheep. The shepherd does everything for the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep, he feeds the sheep, he guides the sheep, and we could go on and on and on through the different various roles that the shepherd has for his own role in caring for the sheep. On the flip side of that, sheep do not protect themselves. They're not known as fierce animals. They're not known as the smartest animals on the block, okay? Sheep go their own way. And in fact, the Bible takes what shepherds would have understood in that day, and he likens it to our spiritual condition. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." So the Bible uses a physical picture of an animal, of a sheep, and says, that's just like your spiritual condition. A sheep wanders. A sheep goes whatever direction they want. This is my sheep impression, by the way, in case you weren't sure. A sheep goes whatever direction that it wants to go. The sheep finds itself in danger unknowingly, didn't intend to be there, but ends up at that place over and over again. You get what the Bible calls us? Sheep. All of us are born with this in nature. We all go our own way. We just naturally gravitate towards whatever I want to do, whatever I feel like doing, whatever feels good to me, whatever I desire. I'm just going to crawl in that direction. And that ultimately leads us to a place of brokenness and regret every single day of the week. Think about the picture here. God does everything for us. Let me say it to you again. God does everything for you in your life. Everybody take a deep breath. Yeah, God did that. He gives us breath. He causes our heart to beat. God does everything for us. And here's the funny thing. We walk around like we're all self-sufficient, and we think that we're self-sufficient in our job, at the workplace. We feel like we're self-sufficient as a college students, which, by the way, college students, it just joys my heart that y'all are back home, okay? All you parents, we love your children. We'll do our best to help them spiritually while they are here. And we will, kids, we will not send an attendance report back to your parents. But we'd love for you to be here, okay? And we do, where was I? I don't know. God does everything for us. Thank you. Appreciate that help over there. We walk around in self-sufficiency like we can come to college on our own and do all that we got to do, to go to our workplaces and do all that we can on our own. We feel like all the stuff in our family, we live so self-sufficient. As we began this COVID journey now 18 months ago maybe, whatever March 2020 was, when we were meeting for 11 straight weeks online as a church, not gathering together in the room, I told you a statement while I sat in an empty worship center and preached to a camera. And I had heard the statement said by somebody else, and I just repeated it to you. COVID did not strip us of control. COVID stripped us of the illusion of control. And so I just want to reiterate back to you something that you're not going to like to hear, but I just got to tell it to you. You are not in control of your life. Now again, we all live self-sufficient. We think we're in control. And then boom, illness hits. Self-sufficiency is out the window. Lose our job immediately. Self-sufficiency is out the window. COVID has stripped us of the illusion of control. And here's where we are, okay, as a community. We are spiking again, as you know. And again, people are grasping for all that they can, trying to hold on to some sense of control. And here's what we need to just understand together. We are not in control. And you may hear that today and be like, man, that's the worst thing that you could possibly say to me today. Here's what I want you to understand from Psalm 23 perspective. It's actually the greatest thing that you could ever hear. You're not in control, but Jesus the shepherd is in control of your life. And he is literally doing everything for you. You and I need a shepherd. That's what the Bible tells us again and again and again. And what Psalm 23, it really gives us the idea of is that when we, by faith, come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, God himself becomes our shepherd. And he begins to lead and guide us in ways that we cannot do on our own. Again, this is common lingo, the Old Testament, the New Testament, this idea of God being a shepherd, of Jesus being a shepherd to us. And so what in the world is the Bible trying to get across to us? What do we need to get specifically from David the psalmist today when he writes about how the Lord is our shepherd? If you're a note taker, I would encourage you to write down this simple phrase right here. When David describes God as our shepherd, he is expressing God's authority and care over every aspect of our lives. Let me read that to you again. When David describes God as your shepherd, he is expressing God's authority and care over every aspect of our lives. I want those two words to resound in your heart today. Authority and care. I'm going to say it to you again. Authority and care. As I was just walking through the sermon yesterday on my own, just walking through my notes, when I got to this section, I just surrendered afresh to the Lord. Lord, I just trust you. I just trust you that you're in charge of my life and you care about me in my life. It's so easy to doubt those two things, is it not? You ever walk through something? Maybe you've walked through something recently. You're like, man, I just don't know how this is going to turn out. I just don't know where God is right now. So easy to doubt that God cares. Lord, where are you? I don't feel you. I don't sense you. I don't hear you. It's so easy to doubt the two things that Psalm 23 is trying to express to us, that God is in control and God cares the most. He knows the best and cares the most in your life. Think about that. He knows the best and cares the most. Now, if this part is really resounding to you, let me give you two more statements that I really believe will be encouraging for your life today. In your life, no one knows better than God about your life. In your life, no one knows better than God about your life. You don't know better. Your mama doesn't know better. Your boss doesn't know better. Only God knows what's best for your life. All you college students who are making your way to the University of Arkansas, and you're like, man, I'm just interested in what God is going to do in my future. I really want God to just lay it out for me clearly. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to major in? What do you want me to do in this area of my life? God knows what's best for your life. When you walk in his paths, there's safety. When you follow the shepherd, there's so much safety. Let me give you a second statement. In your life, no one cares more than God about your life. In your life, no one cares more than God cares for you in your life. God cares more about your life than you care about your life. He cares more than your mama cares about your life. Sorry to talk about your mama so much today, okay? He is more deeply invested in you than anyone on the planet. Now that's like a good time to just say, thank you, Lord, for that. Anybody need those two things just resounding in your heart today? God's authority, God's care in your life. Now, because the Lord is our shepherd, he goes on to the second statement. He says this, because of this, I shall not want. So in other words, you can't have the second phrase without the first phrase. You don't just naturally get to a place where you're like, I shall not want. But you only get to that place when you, with faith, say, Lord, you are my shepherd. I'm confident today that you are my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. It's easy, honestly, especially if you know this passage by heart, to breeze past this second phrase to go to the third phrase. Honestly, you know, the others are more famous. The Lord is my shepherd. Pretty famous, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Well, man, that's pretty famous as well. If you're not careful, you'd breeze past this middle part, I shall not want. So what does that actually mean? How does that help us? This speaks about the satisfaction that only Jesus can give us. I'm going to give you two statements today. If you're a note taker, these are great things to write down. It really expresses the heartbeat of I shall not want. Number one is this, Jesus our shepherd satisfies like no one else. Jesus our shepherd satisfies like no one else. Let me read you a simple quote from a guy named Scott Hubbard who wrote an article on Psalm 23. He described this phrase like this. He says, every one of us wakes up each morning as a bundle of desires. Just look at the person next to you and just say, you're a bundle of desires, okay? Nobody would have thought about that today, right? He says, beneath even the most outwardly apathetic demeanor are loves, needs, and fears, each of them demanding our attention and obedience. What he's saying is your life is made up of those three things. You have certain needs in your life, loves in your life, fears in your life. He says many of us move through our days largely unconscious of these basic emotions, even though they sit at the control panel of our hearts, pulling the levers that decide what we say and do. In other words, those things drive the control lever of our hearts. He said, the wild pack of loves, needs, and fears rushes at you, but you beat them back with this four-word shove, I shall not want. He goes on to describe what that means. He says, you are ready to follow your shepherd wherever he leads. They may come back in the afternoon or even 10 minutes from now, but you know what to do. You plug your ears to their persuasions and remember again and again, I shall not want. He said, well, Nick, that's a long quote. Sum all that up for me. Here's what this is saying. The cares of this world are going to come at you again and again and again and again. Is that true? Everything in your life is going to scream at you with chaos. And so the question on the table is, how do we not follow every desire, every emotion, every fear, every impulse into a life of destruction? We follow the good shepherd by saying, man, I shall not want. I shall not want. I don't want the things of this world. I don't need the things of this world. I will not fear the things of this world. I shall not want. Now, I'm 37 years old, okay? There are many of you in this room who are younger than I am, And many of you who are older than I am, I'm not going to point you out, okay? Same is true at Pinnacle Hills. There are some younger than I am, older than I am. Can I just give you one perspective in these two rooms today? All right? If you've not lived enough life to know this yet, take it from somebody who has. Only Jesus can satisfy your life. I've tried a lot of different things. I've tried a lot of different paths. I've tried a lot of different sins. I've tried a lot of different directions. And I've come back again and again and again to one simple truth and one central truth in my life. Jesus satisfies like no one else. And if you've never experienced that, man, I hope that even today would be maybe a first time for you to experience the satisfaction that only Jesus can bring. So he satisfies like no one else. Think about a second phrase here. Jesus, our shepherd, stills like no one else. He stills like no one else. Do you realize that God can bring you calm better than anything or anyone else in your life? God can bring you to a place of peace. I know we have all kinds of people here, Pinnacle Hills, watching online. You've walked into church today, and it's like, you know, the first day of school with kids, they always have all their books in their bag, and so they all walk out of school like this because the backpack's so heavy. You may have walked into church like that, carrying 1,000 pounds on your soul, burdened about your family, about your kids, about your marriage, about your work life, about your school life, about starting the U of A, you know, all these different burdens. Can I just give you like what Jesus the shepherd would say to you from Psalm 23 today? He can still like no one else. He can calm like no one else. People try to numb the pain. They try to numb the things of this world to get to a place of peace. That's why drug addiction is so severe. That's why pornography addiction is so severe. Alcohol, mistreatment, all the things in this world, people just try to numb the pain. I need peace. I need calm. I need stillness. Man, I just need something at night just to help me calm down. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. So if you're running to all the other things of this world, you'll never experience Jesus the shepherd like he wants you to experience him. So like, how does God still our souls? How does God calm our souls? Keep reading in verse 2. Bible says this, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Said simply, God feeds us and he leads us. He feeds us and he leads us. The CSB version, if you may have that, some of you have that in your lap today. It translates this phrase, lets me lie down. So he lets me lie down. The Hebrew word here, I think, goes much more with the idea of makes me lie down because it tells us this, that God causes you to lie down. God is the one who is responsible for you lying down. He makes me. So this is the will of the Father overcoming our own will. I don't know, maybe there's people in our church, I know there is, but maybe some of you here today who have newborn infants, and especially all of you who are parents or grandparents, you remember the first time you had a baby, and the baby is birthed, and the nurses clean the baby off, and then they swaddle the baby. And as a first-time parent, you're like, you're going to suffocate my baby. Like, don't, it's too tight, do not do that. And then they hand you the baby, it's like a piece of firewood, just straight. And it doesn't bend, it can't bend. And so you go through the hospital days, then you have to learn how to swaddle in the hospital, and then you get home for the first time, and it's time to put the baby to bed, and the baby's crying, the baby's tired, and you're like, maybe I don't have to do his or her arms, and I'll just swaddle the body, and then the baby can't settle, and it does those weird baby things in its sleep, like, you know what I'm talking about? Y'all's babies ever do that? And so it cries and fusses and can't set, it cannot rest until you as the parent lay the baby down on the bed, you flip the blanket over on this side tight, you tuck it, you flip the other side over, you swaddle it, and you pick up that firewood and you lay it in the bed. And what does the baby do? The baby rests. The will of the parent overcoming the will of the child. If you want to rest, you got to do this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You say, well, man, how does God make us lay down? Sometimes he does that through suffering. Maybe you find yourself in a place of suffering today. It's everybody's favorite subject at church, right? Suffering. Think about a couple of phrases here. God causes unrest to give us rest. God allows pain to bring healing. God allows dissatisfaction to reign in your life to bring you to a place of real satisfaction in your life. So maybe you find yourself at one of those places and you say, well, Nick, I'm totally at a place of unrest. Well, God's trying to give you rest. Find yourself at a place of pain, and I just tell you, God's trying to bring healing to your life. Nick, I'm just so dissatisfied with how my life is going. God's longing to bring you to a place of satisfaction. Think about the visual picture here that God gives us. He says, he makes us lie down. Of all the places where God could have made us lie down, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. So green pastures and still waters. This place is not a place with jagged-edged rocks and roaring rivers, but green pastures and still waters. I wish that I could take all of us today here in Pinnacle and on those of you online down to where my wife Meredith grew up in Florida. She grew up in Central Florida, just south of Orlando, about an hour and a half. And I always tell people, you know, anytime you meet somebody from Florida, like, man, you live at the beach, don't you? And I always tell them, like, no, think farmland. That's where my wife is from. In fact, she was raised on a 200-plus acre cattle ranch. And you may look at her on the video and you're like, she don't look like a country girl. She's a country girl. Let me just tell you. She knows all 90s country music. It's a little bit annoying. And but we would go down there from time to time, you know, on holidays. And you sit on their front porch, and as far as you could see would just be green pastures. Just beautiful. You would walk to the back of their house, and they had a creek that just kind of gently flowed behind the house. Literally, you could just throw your fishing pole in, and you just watch your line just gently go down the creek. And it was just such a place of solace for us. And we could go down there, and it didn't matter what was going on here. Didn't matter the chaos or the hurt or the pain or something going on with the church that was just hard. It didn't matter what was going on here. We could always go to Florida and find green pastures and still waters. We could always just sit on that porch and just look at the pasture. We could always just go by the creek and just throw the pole in and just sit there and just have peace. You say, well, Nick, why do you talk about all that? By the way, I'm not mentioning the alligators because that really doesn't go with the whole thing, but it is Florida, they do have them, okay? What God is promising you in Psalm 23 is that he can do that for you today. You're like, we're going to Florida, Pastor? No, we're not going to Florida today. What I'm saying is that God can take you to a spiritual place of green pastures and still waters no matter what you're going through. So just as in our case, it didn't matter what was going on here, we could always find rest there. Psalm 23, through Jesus the shepherd, he's saying this, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter the chaos and the hurt and the pain and the uncertainty and the anxiety, no matter what's going on here, if you'll lean into the Lord, our shepherd, he'll take you there. I mean, I've just been so struck by this yet again. A passage I've known my entire life. And God just made it new in my own life again. Just, I can't tell you how many times I've just told God lately, Lord, just take me to a place of green pastures and still waters. Just need to get to that place of green pastures and still waters. Is that you today? You say, well, Nick, how in the world does God do that? Man, that sounds good. It sounds refreshing. I know I need it, but I don't know how to get there. Charles Spurgeon wrote this about Psalm 23. By the way, he called it the Pearl of the Psalms. Spoke of its spirituality as unsurpassed. What beautiful words. He says this about green pastures and still waters. He says that the green pastures are the scriptures of God's truth. and the still waters are the graces of the Holy Spirit. So green pastures are the scriptures of God's truth, and the still waters are the graces of the Holy Spirit. So, well, Nick, what does that actually mean? Like, how does that play out? Here's what this means. If you find yourself at a place of chaos today or a place of unrest, the Bible says this, man, open Bible, an open heart to the Spirit of God to work in something new in my life. God says, I'll take you to some green pastures and still waters. You don't have to change your location or destination for God to change your heart. So right now, in the midst of chaos, you can be at a place of green pastures and still waters. Just open, Lord, I need something fresh from you. Lord, I need a word from you. Lord, I need the graces of the Holy Spirit to do something new in my heart. Lord, speak to me through your word. Encourage me through your word. God says, when you do that, man, I'll take you to a place of green pastures and still waters. Life will bring you everything but green pastures and still waters. Is that not true? Life will regularly bring you roaring rivers, jagged rocks. In fact, if I'm honest with you, this summer was terrible for me. Summer was maybe the hardest season of my entire life, filled with jagged edges and roaring rivers. Through Psalm 23, God just brought me back to a place of just stillness with him. I just rest with him. Lord, I'm just coming. Lord, I'm asking for green pastures and still waters. We have a long driveway that we share with our neighbor, and our neighbor has like a big, long green yard, kind of like a pasture. And I found myself recently just going to the porch and sitting in our rocking chairs. Not Cracker Barrel quality, but they're close. And I just look at that green pasture. Just, Lord, just bring me to a place of green pastures and still waters. And I'm just seeing God do it again and again and again and again. So I'm very confident. I speak from experience. God can take you to a place of peace today. God can take you to a place of rest. And no matter what you're going on, what's going on in your life, no matter what you're going through in your life, God can bring you to a place of calm with him. And here's what I tell you. Sometimes God, our shepherd, loves you enough to make you lie down. He'll allow problems to come into your life, suffering to come into your life, discipline to come into your life, all for the purpose of getting you back to where you need to be with him. If you find yourself today in a forced position of laying down, of like, listen, I don't want to be laying down. In fact, I hate what I'm going through, but I know God's just forcing me to lay down and be still. Here's what I tell you. Recognize it's the grace of God in your life. Lean into that grace. Why does God do all this in our life? Why does he take us to a place of green pastures and still waters to bring us to a place where he can restore our souls? And that's what we'll talk about next week. It's a little cliffhanger there for you, okay? I told you that across the Old and the New Testament, God has called our shepherd. I referenced John chapter 10. Let me read it for you as we close. This is Jesus speaking about himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, as he said this, was looking ahead to his crucifixion. He's looking forward to the day when he would say, you know, one day I will lay myself down for the sheep. Jesus got up and hung on a cross and died for my sin and for your sin. 3 days later, God miraculously raised him from the dead where he could be our good shepherd for all of eternity. So today I just want you to know, if you've never trusted in Jesus the shepherd, Psalm 23 cannot apply to you if you are not a follower of the shepherd. Are you in the flock of God? Have you ever heard what Christ has done for you on the cross? Have you repented of a life of sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and said, with all that's within me, I want to follow the good shepherd? Today, we're going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to ask us at both of our campuses today to just bow our head and close our eyes. Right now, both the men and women of our staff are going to make their way to the front of these two worship centers. And these men and women are coming for you today. If you're here today and maybe you've heard me speak and you're like, Nick, man, I can't express to you what's going on inside of me, but I know I need to turn my life over to Jesus, the shepherd. That's never happened in my life. Today, I need to meet Jesus Christ. In just a moment, when we begin to stand and sing a final song, I'm going to ask you just to leave where you're seated. You may say, well, I don't want to bother people in my row. Listen, they're going to let you out of the row with joy. You come and you make your way. You find one of these men or women. All you got to say, hey, I need to give my life to Jesus. They'll lead you to faith in Christ personally. You're not going to have to come up on stage, do anything weird like that. You're not going to have to do anything else. All you got to do is just come forward and talk to one of them. They will lead you to faith in Jesus today. Many of you are followers of Jesus Christ. And in all reality, Psalm 23 is a message directly for you in your own life. Are you at a place of rest today? Would you define your life as being at a place of stillness with the Lord? If not, today, in the same room where you've been for the last hour, God can take you to a new place spiritually. God can take you to a place of green pastures and still waters. But you got to lean in. You got to ask Him to do that. Lord, today, I'm so burdened about my life. I'm so burdened about my kids. I'm so burdened about this thing at the office, this thing at the university. I'm just so burdened, Lord, and I need You to move in my heart today. Bring me to a place of peace, and You just watch what the Lord will begin to do in your heart. We're going to open up these altars at both of our campuses also. For those of you who already know Jesus, but maybe you just need prayer about something in your life from one of our staff members. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at this altar as a visible sign. Lord, I'm coming to You. I'm asking for green pastures, for still waters. As we stand and sing this final song, You respond, Lord. If you're online, we're going to put a number up on the screen for you. If you want to receive Christ, you can text that number right now. You need prayer about something, you text that number. We'll get in touch with you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give You these final moments of our service. Would You speak in ways that only You can to the depths of our hearts, to the depths of our soul? We trust You to do that now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.